Praise the Lord. Well, we have been given a wonderful opportunity here. My understanding is we're talking about spiritual warfare, and there's a message I've shared over the years regarding this, and particularly in the area of your weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Amen? Guidepost magazine years ago had a comment, "Great occasions do not make heroes or cowards. They simply unveil them to the eyes of men." Silently, imperceptibly, as we wake or sleep, we grow strong or weak. And at last, some crisis shows us what we have become. Talk about spiritual warfare. The question is, who are your heroes? Who do you emulate? Who do you imitate? We've talked before about military figures. We've got entertainers in music and in film. Many of us have seen sports figures. Some of them that have excelled in many different areas. You've got heroes in business and in ministry. There's political and social heroes. Oftentimes we see there's many followers, but very few leaders. I laugh. We talk about Arnold, the Terminator. You remember the flat top? When I was younger, everybody was cutting their hair that way. Thank God that passed. Amen. We like to dress like them. We like to act like them. We like to talk their talk. And we even cut our hair like them. Now, David had three mighties, and I think it's important in looking at spiritual warfare to realize David, what an example. And if David's going to pick some mighties, they're listed in Scripture, and it's important for us to look back and recognize who he would select. Now, 1 Chronicles 11:10 is where we're going to go first. Now, these were the heads of the mighty men whom David had, who strengthened themselves with him in his kingdom and with all Israel to make him king according to the word of the Lord concerning Israel. See, if you want to grow in character, you want to hang around. My Bible says a companion of wise men will be wise. Amen? The rest of that proverb says a companion of fools will be destroyed, and we've seen that happen. And so it is that you try to hang out with people that are going to help build within you. They were united with David, these three mighties, to help win the kingdom. They strengthened themselves with him and in him. They taught strength. They planned strength. They trained strength. They labored. They suffered. They executed strength. And because they were willing to risk it all, to venture even life itself, they're recorded in God's word as the three mighties. Heroes, examples of conduct and courage. David had these three. And again, I remind you that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God. I want to read verses pertaining to them. There's two different places you'll find it recorded. And each section reveals a little something. And then I also included a little bit from the message because I think it kind of buffs it out a little bit. This is the number of the mighty men whom David had. Jashobeam, the son of a Hachmonite, chief of the captains. He had lifted up his spear against 300 killed by him at one time. Now, they believe that that was at one place, one particular location. If you look in the 2 Samuel version, it says his name was Adno the Esnite, and he killed 800 at one time in one day. So one day would, this was something. Now, the reason I point this out and the reason I think he's first among the heroes is because Adno, his name, means sharp. It has to do with narrow, with like the spear. When you look at the slender handle of the spear, you consider how this man faced overwhelming odds. You and I have some battles. Amen? Particularly as our culture continues to eat away at the perimeter of the culture that we would like to see developed. I don't know about you, but I'm getting more and more just challenged by what's happening in our culture, particularly when it comes to this whole drug issue. My Bible tells me that if a man sows to the wind, he's going to reap the whirlwind. Amen? I just don't believe it's going to come as a tax windfall. I think madness has gripped the hearts of some leaders, and we have yet to see the tragic consequences that are about to unfold. Why? Because sin is progressive. It always takes you further than you thought you'd go. Always keeps you longer than you thought you'd stay, and always costs you more than you thought you'd ever pay. Adno, his name being slender as a spear, it says he was a Esnite, which means to be sharp or strong as a spear. So this spear, this weapon, I liken to the prayer life of the believer. See, you can affect a lot of situations with a spear. You can throw from a distance, and if your mark is accurate, if your exercise has given you a true eye and a steady hand, you can affect things far off, even in Somalia. You can see lives transformed. And I'm sorry, I've got the grunge, so it's going to come up now and then. You can intercede, you can invade the spiritual realms because of the spiritual weapon. Now, vision drove this man, and God gave him the chief seat. He's the number one in the heroes of David. He dropped more people than the rest of the weapons. And I think that's an important example to you and I, because to be quite frank, how many of us want to live an effective Christian life? That's our goal. God stirs our hearts with that, and I cannot ever limit the idea of prayer. As your arsenal of weapons, the spear is one that can affect close at hand in hand-to-hand combat and also at a distance. And I can touch people's lives close to me, and I can touch them across the nation and around the world through the power of prayer. My Bible shares this thought that He had this chief seat because he was faithful with this principal tool of warfare. The spear pierces through the enemy. I have a friend, and I may have shared this before, Dean Braxton, who had the unique experience up in Tacoma of dying on a table in a hospital in Tacoma, and he went to heaven. And he was there. He's actually got a book out, and he speaks here and there in different places. But the thing that's unique about it, he said when he was there, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he said, bingo, it was just like he was traveling through space and time, just absolutely lightning quick. But he said that the thing that amazed him and the thing he shares when he speaks is that there were lights shooting past him. He, like shooting stars, they would just blast past him. And the reality of that was that these were prayers, intercessory prayers that people were praying at that time that absolutely bypassed him on the way to glory. Your prayers are effective. Your prayers have great impact. Don't ever limit them. Become effective in them. And as you begin to grow in that capacity, the warfare will continue to be won. And you'll affect the kingdom of heaven most powerfully. Adno, a great hero of faith. Pointed prayer, traveling by aim, covering a distance, finding its mark. pierces the darkness. He lifted up his spear. Adino was a real hero, a prayer warrior. As you go to the second section there, the next verse. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Aholite. There's a unique name. He was one of the three mighty men. And he was with David at Pasdamon. Now there were Philistines gathered for battle. And there was a piece of ground full of barley. And so the people fled from the Philistines. Some folks don't think that fields are worth fighting for. I'm here to tell you, every one of us have a field to fight over. There's something God called you for, a divine purpose. And when we look for that purpose, when we focus on that reality, we realize once again, others may not see the value, but you will. And you'll want to make a stand for that field. A field of barley, would you fight over that? If it's God's field, absolutely. Amen? See, it's in the field that you're going to become fruitful. In 2 Samuel, it reflects on him. It says that David was with Eleazar, the son of Dodo, one of the three mighty men. And that when they defiled the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated, everybody else ran off. I can promise you, in this war and this cultural conflict you and I are in, there are going to be many who are going to desert. Many who are going to throw up their hands and say, we can't change anything. Friends, you and I have to be able to be ready to defend the field. To defend the field. And so it was. The people fled, but he stationed himself along with David in the middle of that field and defended it. How would you feel with David at your back? And together, with a sword, you defended the field. And you kept the Philistines at bay. Now, my Bible tells me the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. Your prayer life is absolutely vital, and knowing the Word is vital. I cannot believe how many people. The Bible tells us in the last days there'll be a famine in the land. Not a famine of food and water, but a famine to hear the truth of the Word of God. And you hear a lot of stuff anymore. There's a lot of things out there that are affecting people. You can go to some congregations and some churches, and it's filled with a lot of fun, a lot of entertainment. There's a lot of hilarity and humor, but very little content. I'm here to tell you, become effective in the sword of the Spirit, the Word of truth, and you'll make an impact. Because when you are standing there back to back to defend the field, you're not going to be able to throw a few jokes and drive an enemy off. Here we see David and his mighty man. Great day as they defended the field. After him, now let me just, again, for the sake of time, move on here. There's a third one, Shammah. Shammah, in verse 11 in 2 Samuel 23, the son of Agi the Harahite, the Philistines had gathered together into a troop, and there was a piece of ground full of lentils. So again, Shammah joins them, and the people fled before the Philistines. They ran off, but he stationed himself in the middle of the field, defended it, and killed the Philistines. And the Lord brought about a great victory. Shammah means to ruin, to waste, to throw down in a heap. The Horonite means a mountain dweller. King of the hill, if you will. I like to hang around men like that. People who know what they stand for, who believe that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. They set themselves. He stood in the midst. And they saved the produce of the field. See, the devil would love to destroy your source. Your source of food, your source of influence. He'd like to take your fields. In fact, if you go back to the Old Testament, you'll find that it was Samson who took foxes tail by tail. You remember this? To punish the Philistines, he tied the foxes tail to tail and he loosed them in the fields. Because it's real hard to recover when the flame has burned the field out. That is total annihilation, total destruction. Many of the generals in the Civil War would raise the fields and they'd burn them out. I believe Satan is using that same principle today, and he's grabbing the fox of drug abuse and tying it to the fox of alcoholism, tying them tail to tail and loosing them in your fields. He takes the fox of child abuse and child molestation, and he ties it tail to tail with the fox of pornography, and they've been loosed in our fields, and they're burning the fields up all around about us, and you hear more and more of the horror stories of the fields and the smoke and all that's being destroyed because of the foxes in our fields. And so it is that you and I have to defend the field. You have to defend it. The Philistines had gathered into a troop. They were concentrated at a stronghold of resistance. And there they squatted, usurping the field. But Shammah stood in the midst and defended it. You see, the enemy subtly takes from the perimeters of our life. Most of us can think of a loved one, maybe somebody in your immediate or extended family that's been hurt by any of these different things we've talked about. As the foxes are loose and the Philistines are nibbling away at the edges. And he lies to us, telling us it's really his. He tells us what's politically correct. He tells us the things we're supposed to believe. But I'm here to tell you, friends, if you're standing in the Word and if you're standing in prayer, you're ready to defend the field. And again, the people fled, many of them afraid to confront. You know, there's no room for peaceful coexistence. Hello? You remember when they coined the word détente? That was a word that they coined basically in the Cold War to say that the Russians could stay on this side of the wall and the our American forces could stay over here, the forces for freedom on the other side of the wall. You stay there, we'll stay here, and we won't, no harm, no foul, we won't cross. And that's not the way you win. Hello? Détente isn't going to win the day. Philistine philosophy of standing on our ground and trying to lie to us. And you've got plenty of Philistine radio and TV. You've got plenty of influence telling us how we should think. But when you get back to the book, you'll realize the battle belongs to the Lord. Amen. And you and I are called to stand together. You see, that was Shammah's real weapon. You can picture the prayer life. You can picture the spear piercing through the darkness. You can picture the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, standing up and driving off the Philistines. But the stand itself, you can't spiritualize. A stand is a stand. My Bible tells me in Ephesians, listen to this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Therefore, take to you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And honey, the evil day is coming. Amen. For those in Somalia, it's upon them. You know, I don't believe at this point that they're really too terribly concerned about post pre or mid-trib. For the Somalians right now, the forces of hell are driving the believers into the swampy areas of Somalia, and they leave them there to starve to death. I'm so grateful that you brought it up, Kevin. We are living in a time that's unparalleled in my estimation. Looking for men and women who will stand. And having done all, as the scripture says here, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And boy, are they coming. Amen? I don't know about you, but sometimes, every so often, I have one of those days. One of those days where the fiery darts are raining down. And you take that shield of faith and they're just hitting all around you. But so, for many of us, you get to that point where you finally get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And that's when you rise up with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and you start to fight back in an offensive posture. Hello? We're living in a day and age where the enemy thinks he can push the church around. I might as well leave these here. And taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. So in this portion of Ephesians, you have both the sword, you have the spear, and you have the stand. You have it all there. You and I are given a mandate. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So much of the truth surrounding this reality. And friends, you and I are called in a day to be involved in a battle. And truly, as we know, If you make a commitment, God will make you skillful. David became skillful with the sling, and he became skillful with the sword. He writes in Psalms, I believe it's Psalm 144, "Blessed be the Lord my God, who teaches my hands to war and my fingers to fight." The old gospel song said it's a battlefield and not a recreation yard. My Bible also says there's coming a day where we'll beat our weapons into the implements. Amen? The implements of agriculture, and we'll study war no more. I'm looking for that day. I'm looking for that day, but it's not right now. Right now, it's important that you and I recognize in this spiritual warfare that we're called to, that we, like Adonai, become effective in our prayer life. Well, Pastor, I don't know exactly how to do that. I tell you what, it's important that you just learn to spend some real quality time. I don't know about you, but it takes me a little season to get through the flesh when I pray. A lot of distractions out there. Is there an amen in the house? Amen. Huh? You get in that place to pray, and all of a sudden you're wondering about if pork bellies are really doing well on the market. I think, whoa, where'd that come from? And then you start wondering if Susan is going to have cupcakes for the... No! You know, just... And you start fighting through the distractions as you start becoming a little more close in His presence. And then as you begin to press in, He begins to work to teach your hands to war and your fingers to fight. And pretty soon you'll find yourself making headway in the battle. Lives are transformed. Situations begin to change. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power working in us. So the Adonais of this world are important. They have probably the greatest impact. And yes, you have to know the Word. I can promise you, friends, if you've got a good handle on the book, you'll have a true compass. A true compass that will keep you on the straight and narrow, always giving you true north when the rest of the culture is trying to deny it and tell you something altogether different. Protect that and become effective with the sword of the Spirit. But neither of them are helpful in your particular corner of the field if we don't come to a place where we make a stand. Having done all to stand, Paul wrote, "Stand therefore." Father, we have contemplated David's mighty men, and we can learn from those things to live like them, to practice, to prepare our hearts to become effective. And I believe there's some here that you're nudging them. You're just inviting them, drawing them to a closer walk. When the battle's over, the old song said, we shall wear a crown. I look for that day, Lord. I love you. I thank you for your Spirit. I thank you for your tools, your implements that you put in our hands, helping us to become effective. And I pray, Lord, as the voice of the world continues to shout, trying to drown out the salt and light, Lord, that they would shout themselves just hoarse. And let the men and women who stand in your presence, who stand faithfully for what's right and true, continue to be the mainstay at work, the mainstay in the neighborhood, the mainstay in family relationships and in each and every home. Father, our loved ones are absolutely worth it. Those that you've called us to serve, you've placed that burden on our heart and they're worth it. Lord, give us brothers and sisters that we can stand back to back and defend the field. I pray, Lord, that you would raise up godly men and women in this congregation who would become so effective that men will know who to call on when they are burdened, when they're broken. And yes, for those who are in bondage. And today, Lord, give us this field and set captives free. We believe you. We trust you. We thank you for your word today. Maybe with a show of hands, if you're one who feels like the Lord's calling you to stand, maybe you want to rededicate yourself to a closer walk in prayer and in the Word. Would you just slip up a hand? Over here, over here. Others. Pastor, I want to be closer. I want to have a more effective walk. I want to be more skillful with the sword. Over here, we see others. Yes. Father, see these hearts, see these hands, and Lord, draw us by your Spirit into a closer walk. And be glorified, Lord. Give us warriors, give us heroes. Because silently, imperceptibly, day by day, we're being prepared for the conflicts that are ahead. And Lord, I am thankful because we know from the end of the book who wins. We worship you. We give you praise. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.